on this Sunday. I can't explain that too much. I'm just telling you, a while back, I felt like God said, preach on faith. And I said, okay. And a verse, just one phrase, instantly came into my mind, Lord, increase our faith. In my head, I was thinking that that was right after they were in the boat, and he said, oh, you have little faith. That's where I thought I was going. I got led to this verse where it says, increase our faith, and that was not where I was. So I want you to listen. I'm reading a lot of verses today, and I want you to listen carefully. Read along. Open your Bible. We're in Luke 17. This is not an easy passage to figure out, and maybe more so because of the day in which we live. It's really difficult in all reality. Luke 17, beginning in verse 1. Then Jesus said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offense should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. I think I'll read verse 3 again. That's not what this is really about now, okay? I'm just telling you, that's what's here. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Which of those two is easier? I got to go. If he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, then forgive him. And the apostle said, Lord, increase our faith. Isn't that the normal, natural reaction right there? If I have to forgive somebody that much, that's beyond me. I can't. So they said, we're going to have more of you to live that light way. Now, that's only half of the scripture. Listen to this. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to a mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and go stick yourself in the ocean, and it would obey you. Anybody ever told a tree to be plucked up? We don't do that. And Jesus says it wouldn't even take much faith to do it. And we don't even do that. Wow. Don't let me preach yet. Let me go. And verse 7 is where it gets crazy. And which of you, he's on faith now. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you could say to that tree, go jump in the ocean. We say that to people, but we don't say it to trees. And then in verse 7 he says, and which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come here at once and sit down and eat. I fixed you some supper. This is the owner of the property to his servants. Come on, I fixed you something to eat. Come and eat. Would he not rather say to him, fix my supper, gird yourself and serve me, and after I eat and drink, then you can eat and drink later. Does he thank that servant because he did the things which were commanded of him? Look at what Jesus says. I got it, Jeff, right here. Unless you were going somewhere else. I just thought to myself, somebody's going to go get me some water. And he did. Thank you. You got that straight from God because he told me that was coming. He really said, they can't hear you, buddy. Go get some water. Where was I? Yes, look at what Jesus says in verse 9. I don't think so. No, I don't think that the owner of the land, the farm that you work on, is going to fix your supper. No, when you get in from working all day, he's going to tell you to fix his supper, to change your clothes from dirty work clothes into servant's clothes, feed me, then later on you can eat. That's normal. That's natural. And that's crazy to us. I'm telling you, this is not a good verse for modern day stuff because we don't like this. So likewise, verse 10 is the worst of all. So likewise, you, when you have done all the things which you are commanded, you should say, we are unprofitable servants. We have only done what it was our duty to do. Let's pray. Father, I know this is not an easy passage, but I felt like you led me to it, so I took it. You wanted me to preach on it. I would almost rather not, because it's difficult. But Lord, it is about faith, and it is about obedience, and it is about saying yes to God when nothing about it seems natural to us. God, speak to hearts in this place today. Teach us something about you, and maybe teach us something about us. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your word. Bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now, we got to go to the first half. If your brother sins against you, does offends you, and you say, you offended me, and your brother says, oh, man, I feel really bad. Is there any way you could forgive me for that? You feel touched and you say, of course. I just needed you to know how I felt in this. And your brother says, it doesn't mean brother, it means anybody. Your brother says, all right, thank you so much. Man, I want us to be in right relationship here, so I appreciate you forgiving me. Seven times in one day, the same person offends you. And you go, why? What are you doing? I don't understand you. Why do you keep doing this? And he says, I am so sorry. I'm having a really bad day, and I'm probably taking it out on you. I feel bad. Could you forgive me for that? Touched in your heart because he seems so sincere, you say, sure, I can forgive you. Seven times. How many of you would stop at maybe, what, three? Three? Can I get a three? Is everybody in here going to go clear to seven? Just checking. Because it's, I know, you say, well, I think if we don't, it's not going to look good. I wanted to raise my hand on two. Let me give you point one. Forgiving is not natural. I've already said that multiples of times. Today we're talking about natural and supernatural. Faith is supernatural. In faith, operating in faith, you do things you would not or could not do in the natural. Okay, I'm not going there. When you get checked, you know what you do? You shut your mouth and don't go there. Why, like I was about to do. So I'll do that some other time, probably, or not. Okay. Forgiving is not natural. Forgiving seven times in a day is supernatural. It's godlike. Let me try this one. I think this one will go. I'm not saying raise your hand, by the way. I started to walk that way and do something similar, but I'm not. I'm going to come this way. How many of you find it really easy to go to the altar? You can raise your hand. It's okay. I just want to make the point. Some people see, I grew up my whole life in churches with altars. I grew up going to camp meetings a long time ago, probably not 50 years ago, but close to it, 45 years ago and more. I grew up going to a camp meeting that had a sawdust trail, literal sawdust trail across the front where the altars were, and then it went out the side of the building. This was an open tabernacle, and it went down, and it just wound down in the woods, and they had benches. And after the altar, people would get up and walk down the sawdust trail and sit and pray into the night. I grew up, that's my natural world. That's normal to me. And so I know some of you probably have visiting today. You've been here two or three times maybe, and you might freak out. That's probably not the right word. But you might say, what is it with those blocks of wood down there that those people go and just lay down on them? I mean, they just waller on them, and they cry, and they go through Kate. We order Kleenex by the case, people. That box is empty right now, so we will have to replace that box because we go through Kleenex around here like it's crazy. I should actually buy stock in whatever company that is. How many of you find it very difficult to go to the altar? Don't raise your hand. You don't have to. Easy, see, as you say, that's good. Why is it something that isn't natural to us? We want to hold it at arm's length instead of embrace it. And Jesus is telling the disciples that. I'm telling you it's healing. I'm telling you it's therapeutic. I'm telling you it's good for you to forgive somebody else. Why do you resist that so much? Is it a defense mode? Is it you feel like you have to be vindicated? Is it because you think if you forgive someone, you've let them off the hook? Boy, I'm glad y'all brought the cross in. It's a lot easier to preach on forgiveness with that thing laying there. Because, see, I know the guy who hung on it. And you've all, well, I won't say you've all seen the picture, but many of you have seen the picture of the guy. He's standing there, and he looks just distraught. And he's standing, and there's lilies on the ground, and red streams are running around his feet. And he's holding a nail in one hand and a hammer in the other. And he goes, man, it wasn't the Roman soldiers that put him on the cross. It wasn't those Pharisees and those priests who talked him into it. It was me. It was my sin put him on the cross. So when he looked down on that wretched humanity around his feet and said, Father, forgive them. They do not understand what this is really about. I just changed the words a little, but I believe it's very correct. That statement ran through time all the way up to right now and right here. And I'm telling you this morning, if Jesus is willing to forgive me seven times if needed in a day, and you're not willing to forgive, he tells me in his word in Matthew chapter 7, I think. I don't know if I want to look for that. I don't even know if that's where it is. Where does it say? I can't find it. It's all right. It's in the book. Where's Craig Swaby? I need somebody that can quote the entire Bible. That's close enough. That was Craig Swaby, by the way. That's all I have to do is just say, Craig, quote it. He's kind of like that little box people have on their coffee table. He's the biblical version. So, Alexa, where does it say? Thank you, Craig. Matthew 6. I was off one chapter. I'm an old man. He's a young man. That's how it works. It only gets worse if you don't know. So here's my deal. Jesus said, if you forgive men their trespasses, your Father in heaven will forgive you yours. But if you do not forgive men, I turned this off. It can't be that. No, it's not off. That should help. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, this is right out of the book. Craig quoted it. Neither will your Father forgive you yours. See, we jump from the natural to the unnatural or to the supernatural. We go from the natural to the supernatural when we say, well, I'm angry. God can't expect me to forgive somebody when I'm angry. He most certainly does. And he expects you to do it seven times in a day. And when he told the disciples that, you know what they said? We need more faith because that's not easy. So I'm telling you this morning, I didn't say it was easy. I told you this passage is difficult. All I'm telling you is that if you're offended by someone and not willing to forgive them, you are killing yourself spiritually. If you do not forgive, God will not forgive you. And you take that from him. You say, well, God forgives everybody. You missed the point. I know that. But he said, you will take from him his ability to operate forgiveness in your life when you stifle unforgiveness to someone else. Natural or supernatural? Do you operate in the supernatural? See, I believe we have to. All right, let me give you number two, because this is kind of tracking along the same thing. And I know this again, in this modern era, we have redefined God to be this super sweet, loving, grace-filled. All he wants to do is for you to feel good and be happy. That's God's goal. That's how we have defined him. So, I want to tell you this morning that Jesus is not all love and grace. He's plenty of love and he's plenty of grace, but it's a little bit more than that. Look at verse 6. The Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and plant yourself in the sea, and it would obey you. Do you understand that he just, I'm just telling you, he just said, let me tell you the problem. When you said, increase our faith, I heard, I don't want to do that. Okay, you tracking with me? Jesus says back to them, you don't like that, do you? Now, I'm reading the verse. Verse 6 follows verse 5. Then the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. We don't like what you just said. So he said, if you have a very small amount of faith, you could say to the mulberry tree, pluck yourself up by the roots and go jump in the ocean, and it would obey you. What do you think the most important word in, there's two words, the two most important words in that verse are not mulberry tree or roots. It's not even ocean. The most important words are faith and obey. Are you tracking with me here? Jesus leaves the teaching on forgiveness and says, no, the problem isn't your inability to forgive. It's your inability to have a desire to forgive. And then you tell me I have to fix you by giving you more faith. Faith is on you. Faith is your part. And if you would simply learn to obey me, you'll find faith easier to come by. Y'all got on that pretty quick. I'm going to try it over here because I didn't hear much. Are you understanding that Jesus is tying obedience to our faith? And he says, if you'll just learn to obey, the faith will come. Amen. If you will learn to obey, the faith will come. How many of you ever needed to have a mulberry tree cast into the ocean? Anybody here ever needed that? See, if you needed it, I believe you could say, gotta go. What's more likely going to be the mulberry tree in your world? Sickness? Difficulty? Somebody? I already told you, see, we are glad to tell people to go jump in the lake. That's our version. You know what that means? That means I'm angry. I'm not going to forgive you. In fact, what I'm going to tell you is go jump in the lake. We're quoting that verse because we, in the natural, don't want to apply the supernatural, which is faith that makes me stop, maybe be still, wherever the song we just heard. You're not going to be running around ranting and hearing God. So maybe you be still. We used to teach our children to count to 10. Do they still do that? When you're angry, count to 10. I don't want to count to 10. Count to 10 really slow. calm down. That's what we're saying there. Did I get some amens? I think I did. Are you tracking with me? I'm trying to change the meaning of this verse for a lot of people because we don't know what it means. We don't apply it as it means. We say, well, it's not really, I mean, it's just not going to happen that we're really going to tell a tree to pluck itself up. We're not going to do that. So that verse really means nothing to me. See, you're staying in the natural. He's not talking about mulberry trees. Their answer to him was, give us more faith. His answer to them was, build yourself some more faith. It doesn't even take much. That's why the mustard seed is the smallest of seeds. It turns into a tree. We have that in another parable. Are you with me? Are you with me? All right. So Jesus is full of love and full of grace, but he says, you got something to do in this deal. You have a part to play in this deal. So the disciples want Jesus to overwhelm them with supernatural power so that it's not really them. That is not good theology to me. That makes me to become a puppet. That Jesus walks me over to somebody and says, I forgive you. Like, I can't do I can't even say ventriloquism, much less do it. But the puppet master walks me over because I said, I don't want to forgive. You make me do it. Give me more faith. And that means to God, take over me and make me do it. And God says, just do it because I told you to. Does anybody think that's too harsh on the part of God? Because you're not going to like what I'm about to say. I already read it, so you already know what's coming, right? Fix my supper first, then you can have something to eat. But we really don't like that. See, we go to God and we pray to God to provide us with all that we need. We never say to God, what could I do for you, God? What do you need me to do for you before I ever even think of asking you to do something for me? Do we? Does anybody? Does anybody get on their face and say, God, what could I do for the kingdom of God today? What do you need, God? Because we say, God doesn't need anything. He doesn't. That's not how it works. I tell God what I want, not the other way around. Well, let me just refresh, okay? I'm going to refresh this passage. And so not only the mulberry tree, faith and obedience, but and which of you, if you had a servant plowing or tending sheep, when he comes into the field, which one of you are going to say, here, come at once and sit down. I fixed you supper while you were out working for me. No, rather, you will say to him, good job. I saw you out there. You kept your rows really straight. That's good. I'd like supper now. Guy's dirty, needs to change clothes, needs to wash his hands. You've been sitting in the recliner watching Oprah. I don't know what comes. Oprah may not even come on. I just made that up. You've been sitting in the recliner watching whatever comes on in the daytime. I don't know. And your servant comes in, has been working for you all day, and you look at that servant and say, fix my supper now. And Jesus seems to think that's okay because you are the boss and he is the servant. Everybody good with that? Anybody in here have an employee? Anybody in this room have an employee? John, raise your hand so I can point at you. John is an employer. Now, the problem is John's probably going to say, I actually do that. The guys are out. John gets in his truck, drives into town, comes back with a bag of hamburgers and says, lunchtime, guys. Come on, I got y'all something to eat. Do you ever do that? Yes, I knew he was going to ruin my illustration anyway, but, and I did that. I had 28 employees when I ran a mill for Georgia Pacific. I had 28 employees, and at least once or twice a year, my wife fixed all of them supper. And our lunch break was in the middle of the night. So she fixed a full turkey and dressing Thanksgiving dinner and brought it out there in the middle of the night for my employees, 80% of whom were black guys. So if y'all think I'm from Mississippi and therefore I hate black people, please be wrong on that. I was the boss, and so I provided that to say to them, thank you for your good work. But guess what? When lunch was over and I turned on the belts that meant we are working now, I had an expectation. I didn't say, hey guys, we're taking the rest of the evening off. We're going to sit around and eat and take a nap on GP. Nope. We took our lunch break and then we went to work because I had that expectation of my employees. And if you're an employer, you know what I'm saying. If you're an employee, you might better know what I'm saying, just to tell you. So it's a good idea. Now, is that too harsh if Jesus says that? Is that too mean? Is that not like Jesus? Well, it's his story. So let's say, does he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? No, I don't think so. Verse 9, I don't think so. He doesn't say, thank you, employee, for doing what I pay you to do. Wow. So likewise, you, when you have done all the things which you are commanded by me, you should say, we are nothing more than unprofitable servants. We have done nothing more than what it is our duty to do. God doesn't owe me anything for exercising some faith and being obedient to his word. He doesn't owe me anything, but he gives me everything. I'm going to heaven when I die, and he helps me live every day. He is my blessing. He is my all in all. And he thinks for some reason that I shouldn't obey him. I have to obey him. You have to obey him. Not just merely out of duty. That's natural. But in the supernatural, we obey God because through that obedience, he builds faith in us. You all know this. It's back in the Old Testament. Saul was told through the prophet, he was a prophet, Samuel, tell Saul to attack the Amalekites and kill every single person. Now, some of us don't like that, see? We say God in the Old Testament was mean, but now he's nice. He's full of love and grace. He's not like that anymore. I'm not going to preach on that. Saul goes, comes back. Samuel's in the road, ticked off. Saul says, good news. We have done all that your God commanded of us. He said that to Samuel. He didn't say we were faithful to our God. He said we did all that your God commanded of us. And I love the line. Samuel says to them, then why do I hear sheep bleating behind you? B-L-E-A-T-I-N-G, not bleeding. There was about to be some bleeding, but it wasn't going to be those sheep. And he said, well, you know, it's Saul, the king of Israel. It's customary, put in there natural, that when a king defeats another king, that you take the spoils. I have to give my men the spoils. So, yeah, we saved a few sheep. Yeah, they were the best ones. Yeah. We did plunder a little gold and silver, but that's natural. Samuel said, who is that guy? Oh, him? That's the king of the Amalekites. That's the king. See, kings have this other little rule because you never know who's going to overthrow who. So we kind of have this unspoken rule in the natural world. You don't kill the king. Because next time it may be me, and then they won't kill me either. And Samuel, who is an old man by now, says, does anybody have a sword? Not one of those great big heavy ones, a small one, 2.5 feet. Yeah, that'll work. What's your name? The guy says, my name is Agag. I'm an Agagite. Just go look that word up and you'll get this story better. Samuel says, hi, I'm Samuel. I'm the prophet of God, and I'm about to cut your head off, just so you know. And the Bible says that he not only lobbed his head off, but he chopped him up into little pieces, looked at the king, and said, the only reason I don't kill you is because you've been anointed by God. I'd like to chop you up just like this. But what you need to learn is to obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. To obey God is better than anything you could give him. Because in obedience, you build faith. And in building faith, you change you from natural to supernatural. Are y'all, this is hard. That's not easy. There, I guarantee you, if they ever invent that machine that reads minds, I'm going to have them up there just aiming it. See what they're thinking right now. Because I guarantee you, some of you are going to say, well, God loves me no matter what. What? And what does that have to do with anything? Do you think God loving you is somehow separated from you loving him? You say, oh, well, I love him because he loves me. Really? I ask for employers, how many parents? Any parents? I want you to, well, this one won't work either because it's 2018. Some of you don't know this yet, but your job as a parent is not to be your child's best friend. Well, somebody heard that one. This mic, I was wondering if it was working a while ago. You go home, and tomorrow morning, we'll just let them sleep till they wake up, first of all. And when they wake up, you can say, I have eggs, pancakes, French toast, some cereal and bananas if you don't want much. What are you thinking about today? And they go, I'd like some of all of that. Okay. Were you thinking of going to school or are you staying home today? I think I'm staying home. Okay. Because I just wanted to check. Now, I love you so much. Anybody going with me? I love you so much. The last thing I'm going to do is expect anything out of you. Now, some of you think that's great. Some of you kids might even think that's great. Wait till your parents. Here's how it ought to work. It didn't work that way in my house either. I'm just telling you. Get up. Get up. You're going to be late again. I dressed my son till he was at least 14. Am I lying? He doesn't know how old he was because he was unconscious. It's hard to put blue jeans on a tall, skinny boy. You got to get up. School starts. But I didn't ask him his opinion. I just told him he was going. Now, I am going to tell you the stupidity of parenting. When he got 16, he didn't have a truck yet. This is now, parents, I'm telling you, this is the stupidity of parenting. My son would get up, he'd get ready for school, he would go out and get in my truck and drive to school so that he could drive a truck to school. Then I would walk to the school. Some of you are saying, you are dumb, preacher. And retrieve my truck, go about my day, and at about 3:10, park my truck and walk home, and Jeremy would walk out and get in it like he had been, it'd been waiting on him all day. Come on, Jane. You. Jane sees it all the time. Or worse, maybe worse. Because see what, it was that true? That was true, was it not? So was the dressing. You just were unconscious. Do you see that I'm telling you I went to some foolishly extraordinary, lavish love messages? Do you see what that was? I love you, son, so I'll do that for you. But on the other hand, you're going to school. We're not even discussing that. Get up. Do you see the difference? The love is not the question. The expectations and the obedience from God's standpoint becomes the question. If you'll obey him, he'll build faith in your life because you'll build faith in your life.
He'll bless you. He'll honor himself in you, and it will be good. I want everybody to stand up.
Oh, man, it's noon.
We're going to have church tonight at 6 o'clock. Roxanne's going to share about India. If you just read, starting in verse 11, you'll read the text for tonight. I couldn't preach it all in one day. Have you got somebody right now that you're struggling to forgive them? Have you got somebody you're struggling to go to because you think 4 or 5 was enough? And so you've quit asking. See, if forgiveness isn't happening, that's a supernatural thing and you need Jesus involved. So your first prayer should be, Lord, increase my faith. Either way that goes, so that you can forgive or so you can ask and believe that it will come. That's hard. That's not natural. Secondly, if you're not operating in the supernatural, your prayer life probably doesn't go very far. You probably wonder why all these people come and pray and you never get answers. Because you think God should have no expectation of you, and so you don't operate in his supernatural by obedience. And James says, if you want to go look this one up, James says, you should not think you're going to get anything from God. You pray, but you don't need to expect anything because you're not where you need to be. Right? So what's God want of you? What is God's expectation from you? Is he talking to you right now? While he talks, this is your prayer. Lord, speak. This is Samuel when he was a little boy. Lord, speak, for your servant listens. If you'll pray that, I'll close and we'll go. Right now, you say, Lord, you speak, and I will listen. And obey. And obey. Father God, this was not an easy sermon. The topic wasn't easy, and it wasn't even about forgiveness. He used that to launch into a sermon on faith. And it wasn't about mulberry trees. It was about obedience. And it wasn't about an employer cooking supper for his employees. It was about us as Christians giving God the time he deserves and saying, God, what can I do for you? Lord, increase our faith and help us this morning in Jesus' name to be the person, the Christian, the employee, the employer, the parent, the child, whoever we are. Help us be that for